Okay, so what's the first fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Love. And that is our topic for today. It's the topic of love. And it's really important that we understand what the Bible talks about when it talks about love. Love is a word that gets used a lot. There's a really simplistic view of love. I grew up listening to just the answer is love. Here's, I don't know if you guys, anybody remember this? Love is all you need. Can you just hear it ringing in your head if you had the album? And that was a big thing in the 60s. It was like, oh, all we need is love, and you just flower children and all this stuff. And that view of love is still around, and it is really simplistic, and it isn't where God wants to take us. It isn't what He wants to bring us. It's a different understanding. And when we think about the Holy Spirit, God, and we think about, what does it say in 1 John 4:8? Some of you guys just did that in memory madness. Who can recite 1 John 4:8? Was that today's memory verse? Or not? Oh, that's what lesson 2, right? Because I recited that today. Who's doing lesson 2? Okay, what's 1
John 4:8? Anyone who does not love does not know God.
Yeah, God is love. God is love. I can't think of any other quality that the Bible says that God is. He is holy, but that's not what's my holy is an adjective, right? God is love is unique. God, it's what He is. He isn't holiness. It doesn't say God is holiness. It says God is holy. It doesn't say even that God is goodness, says God is good, but it says God is love. It is what He is love. So when we think about the fact that God made us, that He made us to know Him, and that He made us in His image, and put those things in your head, and how important do you think love is going to be to human life? God is love. He made you, the one who is love, made you for relationship with Him. He made you to relate to Him, and He made you in His image. How important is love going to be for human life? And if we walk through the logic of that, if those things are true, if you are made in the image of a God who is love, and He made you to know Him, and He made you in His image, then love is going to be really, really central to human life. Now, we don't tend to think that way or understand that. We can even view the whole thing of all you need is love or that pursuit of the idea of love. We can even think of it as a human weakness. Oh, you know, that's so wishy-washy, and that's kind of that warm, gushy stuff, and I don't like that. And when we have that response to the need or reality of love, it really shows two things. We either have a wrong understanding of love, which is really common, or we have a wrong understanding of what it means to be human, of what God has made us to be. And actually, the truth is, really all of us, our whole life is contorted into a shape different than what God made us to be, because we have not received and experienced love the way God wanted us to experience it. It has affected us all. When we enter into God's presence, what will characterize that is that we will experience both giving and receiving perfect, complete love. So, if we want to understand the fruits of the Spirit, we want to understand this beginning point of God, we have got to understand what God is talking about when he talks about love. And let's see where we go next here. There's two really important things about who we are as people. Two things we really need. We need a sense of identity. We have to have our identity grounded somewhere. We have to know who we are. I'm always wanting to know, who am I? I'm always looking for some reference point. And we have to experience meaning and significance. I want to do something that matters. I want to do something that counts. I want my life to be engaged in something that's worthwhile. God has made you in his image to experience both of those things, a really solid sense of identity in who you are and a sense of significance and meaning. And we, as broken, fallen human beings, we look for those all over the place. I try to find my identity in my own abilities. Oh, I'm really good at this. I'm really good at that. Or, you know, I'm really good looking. Well, you know, some people don't have that option. You know, I don't get that one. But I look for things in myself. What about me? What is there about me that I can look at you and I can feel confident in my identity because of me? And that is all of human life, all around us. Every advertisement plays on that, trying to get you to feel secure about who you are in something related to you. But that's not how God made us. God made us to find our identity in a secure, loving relationship. And really, he made us to find it in him and in one another. And that's where Jesus found it. When we look at Jesus, we are looking at the perfect picture of what we were created to be. And so, we're familiar with this verse about Jesus' life. And this is at his baptism. And it says, a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And there was an identity bestowed on Jesus over and over and over, where God his Father affirmed to him, "I love you. You are my son. With you, I am well pleased." And Jesus owned that, and he knew that. And he said, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." And Jesus was explaining, "Why am I doing what I'm doing? Here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing this because the Father loves me, and he shows me what he's doing, and so I do what he's doing." Now, if you can imagine yourself being in Jesus' shoes, knowing you and your personality, I don't know what you would take your identity from. "Hey, I'm the cool guy who can walk on water. Come watch me." Or, "I can turn water into wine." Or, I can heal people and everybody gather around me. Watch this. I'm so cool. Do you think any of that ever registered with Jesus as being the basis of his identity? All the things he could do, all the things he could own about himself. And we know, don't we? Jesus' identity was, "I am loved by my Father. That's who I am. That's my ground. That's my foundation. That's where I stand. My identity is, I am loved by my Father." When you think about your life, where do you run to find your security in who you are? "Oh, I've got a cool car. Well, I can get A's in math. I can..." Where do you go to, "This is my safe place. This is who I am"? Jesus went right here. "I'm loved by my Father. That's who I am." And everything else was secondary. He knew that, and as human being was made for that. And you know what? You and I are made for that too. You don't find the source of your identity inside yourself. You find the source of your identity in being loved by someone outside of you. And the reason that's true is because God made it to be so. He made you that way. You are wired that way. And then not only identity, You have to have meaning and significance. You've got to go, my life is doing something. God created you for that. He created you to be fruitful, would be the biblical word. He created you to do something that matters. And so all over the place, people are striving to do something. Out in some circles, I call it self-actualization. You've got to actualize yourself. You've got to find something about you and go, this matters because I did it. This is what you were made for. We were created to get our meaning and significance also from loving relationship. And Jesus modeled that for us also. And we can look at that in John chapter 15. And so let's open our Bibles and let's look at that just right in the Bible. And I think somewhere around you, you probably got one. There's another one up here. I don't know if we have enough. We probably were supposed to, but just in case we don't, there's an extra one up here, a couple over there. Has everybody got access to one somewhere? Or you can look over a shoulder or whatever. So in John 15, it's on page 7, and the Bible's on the floor. It's on page 764. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is his last really long engagement with them before he's crucified. And he says this in verse 9 of chapter 15. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Utterly profound statement. Utterly profound. How much do you think God the Father loved Jesus? To whatever degree that is true, Jesus said, that's how I love you. That's how I love you. Whatever comes into your mind, when you think of the Father loving the Son, of course you don't really get it either. It's way bigger than what you imagine, but we can probably imagine that it's a lot of love. Whatever you picture there, God says, I want you to go that far in understanding, that's how I love you. He says, now remain in my love. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Something's got to happen here to connect with this. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. All right, so there's two things we can take from this. One, there can be a misunderstanding about love, that love is something that is completely one-sided, that is totally unconditional. And that's true. Love is completely unconditional as it is given. Okay? But whether I experience that and know that and walk in that and have that fill my life, if someone loves me, depends on my response. You and I are impacted by two things. One, we don't receive love from other people. You know, I'm here living with two of my children in this church. I'm living in the house with one of them, and I recognize that there are patterns in our life because I did not love perfectly in my relationship, even though in my heart I have a deep abiding commitment and care, yet in my expression I did not always express that. And that leaves a shape, a mark, a pattern in relationships. You did not receive perfect love from the people around you. And in some places, what people experience is, the only word that fits is horrific in what they experience. But here's the other side we have to own. There has been times people have offered love to you that you have not received it. That's the other part of our fallenness. People offer us love and we push it away, either because it makes us too vulnerable, or maybe because we want to be proud of our car instead. We want our identity somewhere else, and we push love away. You are broken. You don't give love, and you don't receive love the way God wants you to. You don't live in love. With God, God says, I love you. But for you to so love can be unilateral. It can go one way. But for that love to have its impact and to be experienced, it has to be received. And to be received, it has to be walked in. I could go have an affair somewhere and I could say, God loves me, God loves me, and that would be true. But I would not be experiencing the love of God, because the love of God can't go there with me. I have to abide in God's love. God says, here's John, here's where you stand in my love, right here in this family, in this world. Now, I don't feel very tempted in that, because I'm very thankful for the wife that I've got. But we all do have our temptations. We all have our areas where we go, I want to be over here. And God says, this is like, of course, down here the sun isn't good. This is a better thing in Colorado. But, you know, you're standing in the sun, and the sun is good. The sun's good. Think that. This is the sun is good. The sun is good. And all of a sudden you choose to go step into the shade, and you go, I don't have any sun anymore. Well, the sun is still shining. You just are not abiding in it. You just stepped out. In Jesus' life, what was his meaning? Was his meaning and significance found in the fact that he healed people? Was his meaning and significance found in the fact that he raised the dead? No. His meaning and significance was found in the fact that I walked where my Father wanted me to walk. I walked in his love. What did I accomplish in my life? I walked in the love of my Father. I abided in this relationship of love that's given to me. So what were you made for? You were made to have your identity grounded in knowing you are completely loved and accepted. You don't need this. You don't need that. You are loved by God. And we have every basis to have that foundation. You know, for me, you guys know I love science. I love the whole idea of creation. And one of the application points that's so profound to me, it's really helped me in my life, is I just really know that God made every person, and he only makes people he likes. If he don't like you, he don't make you. And so if you're here, you can know that God likes you. He got just what he wanted in you. Your mom and dad, they might not even wanted a child. But if they did, all they wanted was a baby, or maybe they wanted a boy, or they wanted a girl. I have my unique personality. I have my unique things. I have my weirdnesses. I have all the little quirks about who I am. And God said, I want one person just like that. I want one person just like that. And John, you're that person. And he might not want anybody else like me. He probably doesn't. But he wants one. And he wants one person. It delights him to have one person just like you. God loves you. God likes you. There's every reason for us to know that. And not only that, that when we fell away from that love, when our first forefather blew it all and the spirit left, and we were, as we talked about last week, spiritually dead. Even in our deadness, God looked at us and said, I know what I made you for, and I love you. And I will redeem you, and I will bring you home. And so what you and I are supposed to do in our life is we are supposed to continually grow in having that be the foundation of who I am. And we'll revisit that. So learning this is what changes our lives as Christians. This was true for Paul. Galatians 2:20, he said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I like this verse because it's where Paul really personalizes it. Something happened for Paul. He was this radical guy who was going around killing people and hurting people and hating people. And something happened to that guy. And you know what happened to him? It got into his heart. Wow. God in Jesus Christ has loved me. And that needs to be, I'm sorry, this is my friend calling. Can I just take this? I'll be right back. No. I don't know who that is. I'm sorry. Turn your cell phones off. I think that's the first time that's ever happened to me. Usually Bill Young, he would always call whoever was teaching. So you wouldn't have your cell phone off because Bill would call you while you were teaching. He's a fellow pastor that's in Salt Lake now. So anyway, Paul's life was changed, and that's what will change our lives. So what does it take to love? So here we're going to walk through a text. We're going to tie this back to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to walk through a passage in 1 John. So I want you to turn there, 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to do 6 verses here, 2 at a time. Verses 7 and 8. That's where we'll start. Page 863. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So, in the love that the Bible is talking about, what does it take to love? To know God. So, who doesn't love? 1 John 4:8. Who doesn't love? If you don't know God. So, can you be a Christian and not love? Because you can be a Christian, and can you be a Christian and not know God? Well, let's see. What if we said yes and no? Can you be a Christian and not know God? No, because, well, in one sense, doesn't Paul say that now that we know God, or rather are known by God? Really, the point is, when we're a Christian, we're known by God. I know when I became a Christian, I didn't know God very well. I would have to say I still don't know Him very well. Would you guys say you know all about God? Maybe I'm the only, you guys need to come up here. I need to go sit out there. I mean, because, right, we don't know God, right? Haven't you ever learned anything about God? Then before you learned it, then you didn't know it. We're learning about God all the time. That's the problem with our world. That's the problem with the Christian world. God is just a three-letter word. We don't have any content. We don't know this utterly, totally amazing person that's really there. He's just this three-letter word that we show up and somehow are connecting with on Sunday. I really honestly believe that is a huge issue. If you... Okay, so how many of you guys think you're doing a really good job of loving? Anybody think you're doing a really good job of loving? If so, I'll ask your friend and we'll really find out. You know why you're not? You don't know God. That's what it says. You don't know God. If you knew God, if you're a Christian, if you're born of God and know God, you will love. All right, so here's my question for you. Do you think getting to know God is exciting? Oh, I want to go see the latest superhero movie. Oh, I want to go do this. Oh, I want to go do that. Well, those are all great. Those are all fun. I'm not against any of that. Do you think getting to know God is exciting? Do you go, ooh, cool, I can get to know God better? Or you go, oh, okay, I did go to church. I already went to church, man. I did it. I did my thing. Do you know what's going to transform your life? Do you know what's going to change your life? Do you know what's going to make you really different? Getting to know a real person who's really there, who chooses to make you pursue and seek Him. He says, how much do you want to know me? Are you willing to pursue me? Are you willing to seek me? Or do you just expect me to just show up and reveal everything to you? How many of you guys ever played hard to get in a relationship? That's not a bad thing, is it? God says, do you want this? Do you want to know me? Am I worth knowing at all? You say, you sing about how I died on the cross for you. Am I worth knowing at all? Will you pursue? Do you think it's exciting to get a chance to get to know me? Now, that's a convicting question. That's a convicting question. All of us need to be convicted by that. Eesh. I can think of a lot of things that seemed exciting to me last week and a number that didn't seem exciting. And I'm convicted by how the chance to get to know the living God does not stir me like I wish it would. And my goal is to be stirred more. Because I want to grow in love. And apparently there's only one way. You have to be born of God and you have to know Him. You have to know Him. All right. Where does love begin? Let's look. Next verses, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God. Love does not begin with me. I'm a reflector. I have a little bit of love in me. I have a little bit of love in me. I don't have any other problems, and if I see you have a problem and I think I might be able to help, I probably on my own could actually engage and help you. But if I have anything else going on in my life, if I'm busy, am I whatever, then I go, I don't want to do it. What moves me to do what I would never do? It's the experience that I have been loved. We know that, don't we? When you feel love, you just go, oh, you just want to go do something for somebody because you feel loved. This is love. Not that you loved God, but that God loved us and gave Himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You are not very loving. You're just not. If that offends you, then eventually you don't have to. I take it back. I withdraw it. I never said it. But eventually you're going to discover that. You're going to discover that. You're just not very loving. But you can be transformed by being filled with the knowledge of the love of God that's been given, not to the whole world, but given to you. That's why Paul said, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And here's my question on this one. How often do you begin at the beginning? How often do you start with the fact that, wow, God's been gracious to me. God has loved me. And along with that, when was the last time you were profoundly moved by God's love for you? When was the last time you had that experience? However long it was probably too long ago, but I'm telling you what, this is the heart of the Christian life. That's why we can ask, is it exciting to get to know God? Because when you get to know God, what you're really going to discover is God loves me. Not with some weird emotional human love. He loves me with a very real, tangible, caring shepherd, father, heart, love. And if you are not moved with some degree of regularity by the fact that God loves me, you cannot live the Christian life. All you can do is live a religious life. And that's what happens. We learn these things, we get excited about these things, we get busy, they get sort of familiar, we lose touch with the reality of walking in the presence of God, and we become religious. And you know what? Being religious doesn't make anybody happy. Nobody around you really likes you, and you don't like it either. You just lose your Sunday mornings. And for what? To go hear another sermon. When was the last time you were profoundly moved by God's love for you? That might be the most important question you could ask yourself. And how are you going to come in contact? How are you going to abide? How are you going to abide in that love that is just right there? You've got to have that. We live in God's Spirit when we love one another. 1 John 4:11 and 12, the next two verses. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So that's where we get back to the Spirit. God lives in us. Of course, He lives in us. That's referring to the Holy Spirit. So when I see God's love for me, when I remember that, when I do the stop, drop, and roll, and I bring all that reality back into my life, and then I choose to love you, God says, okay, now I can fill you. Now I can be all that I am in you. You see my love for you, and you are expressing it to others. That I can fill. That I can bring all that I am into. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God lives in us. God lives in us. God, you love me. You love me. You love me. God, I'm so frustrated with this. But you love me. It's true. You've made me. You're for me. You're with me. You're my Father. You care about me. You're my shepherd. You're at my side. You're going to make it all work out. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah! I can love you. I can love you. Not in my strength. Not because John Meyer is loving. I can love you because I'm loved. And God fills me. And God lives in the world, in us. Not as we are nice. Oh, but we're Christians. We're supposed to be nice. We're supposed to be loving. No, you're not loving. Jesus is loving. I don't need to see your love. I want Jesus' love in you. That's what I want. I want that really full, complete, deep love. That is Jesus' love. And that's what I want you to get from me. And we got to be honest, we all need to grow a lot. But it is there and it's real, and I have it and you have it. I think we're just going to stop right there. One more section, but we'll just let that go. So let's just roll through our last questions again. This is our verse, this is our text, 1 John. So what does it take to love? Well, it takes knowing God. That's what 1 John 4 says. I can't love unless I know someone who is loving. I'm a reflector. And so I should be excited about the chance to get to know somebody who's actually loving. Where does love begin? It doesn't begin with me. Not in me. Not in me. Not in me. It begins in knowing that I'm loved, and it begins in God. And that's what it says in 1 John 4. And I need to connect with that. I need to connect with that. And then when I connect with that, God's Spirit fills me as I love you and others. And I express it. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love comes as I know I am loved, and the lover fills me and loves others through me. So let's pray. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the lover. We are not. And it doesn't matter. You never said that it's you in us. You're the one that should get all the credit anyway. It's about you. There's nothing great about me. But there is something great about you. And I just pray, Jesus, that you'd show me how to have you live in me more. I want to know your love. I want to be excited about it. I want to experience it. And I want to give it. so that you get all the glory and all the credit. In Jesus' name, amen.